Well, good morning to all of you. Great morning, isn't it? It's not snowing yet, and it's just beautiful out there. The wind isn't howling, and it's not closer to zero than it is to freezing. But anyway, it's good to be together and in the house of the Lord. Amen? You know, I was kind of wondering this morning, a lot of people showed up late. You know, for the service, and I'm going to be sharing on the rapture. And so I was thinking, Lord, did the rapture happen and we missed it? But anyway, no, he didn't. He didn't come yet. But anyway, God is so good. So I want to share some truths with you. I want to use a lot of scripture to do that, because really I don't want to preach and profess what I believe, because you can't get a hold of that. You have to get a hold of what the Word says. And so I appreciate if you can, you know, if you want to write these scriptures down and kind of go over them. I'm sorry that we can't discuss it more downstairs, but maybe at another time. But anyway, if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, I like to talk about the signs of the times at the end of the age. And I'm thinking more than ever that it might be happening in 26. Of course, we'll see. It could be 27 or 8, 28, maybe 30. But it's going to be real soon. Yeah. All right, let's start with verse 3. The signs of the times. So verse 3 of Matthew 24 says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these signs be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the age, or the end of the age?' And in verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" If you realize where Jesus started here, he's saying that deception is going to be a big thing. And that's what messes a lot of people up. It's deception. It's not them trying to be good or trying not to do this and all of that. It's more deception. You got the enemy trying to deceive us. And as we read on, you're going to see the ways that he does that. So Jesus said, be careful of deception, because there's so many people that have been deceived. Verse 5, "For many will come in my name saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." You can see a lot of that starting to take shape. It's very evident in other countries. Pastors are taken before the church. They pour gasoline on them and light them on fire. And there's many other things that they do. And it's coming to the United States. And verse 10, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because the lawlessness will abound, now listen to this, because of all that's going on, all the lawlessness, all the hurt, the pain, false prophets, we begin to take heart in that. Do y'all get kind of troubled in it? Just kind of like, man, where's this world going? What's it all coming to? And you just get kind of tired of hearing it. And anymore, we've seen and heard so many terrible things that it's like as these things come, it doesn't bother us quite as much anymore because we've heard so much of it and we've seen so much. And it says, because of this and because of the lawlessness, all the bad that's taken place, and of course, it's abounding, the lawlessness, that the love of many will grow cold. I think sometimes we get to the point where we might say, well, they deserve it. And that's what a lot of people are saying about Charlie. You know, just answering questions. Get shot and people say, well, he deserved it because he's always causing problems and all of this, and on they go. So our world is changing where there's not much love, understanding, and just continues to get worse. And so it affects us. Whether we realize it or not, this stuff can affect us. And it says that it can even cause our love to grow cold, not caring about others. But he who endures, now listen to this, verse 13, and he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would just proclaim and open your word to all of us. Lord, let it get down into our hearts that we might have clearer understanding, that we can be led by your Holy Spirit, and that we would learn to stand, Lord, on your word and trust it with all of our hearts, even unto death. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, preach through me today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's kind of laying some things out there, and with all of the bad things that are happening today, it does affect us. I know it affects me, and I've got to check myself sometimes. Sometimes I don't feel sorry for people like I should. I dealt with the homeless, and I'm kind of thinking, most of them there are not there because they have to be. Most of them, whether you realize it or not, they're there because they want to be. There's one guy that we worked with trying to help him, and we were doing good. His name was Richard. You know Richard. Richard would call me. Of course, he's in Colorado. And there was several hundred of them just in that one little block area of homeless people that lived right there on the street, on the sidewalk. And we tried to help Richard and get him out of that, but you know what he said? He says, I don't want to leave here. I've got all my friends. He says, I can get alcohol when I want. I can get drugs when I want. Nobody bothers me. I don't have to pay taxes. I just let the world go by and I don't have to care about it. It's just me and myself. And just kind of like, well, hell with everything else. And you know, there's a lot of them that are like that. A guy down there in the business was offering. He went out to the homeless and he says, I want to pay $20 an hour. I got something that I'd like for you to do right here. It's easy. And I'll pay you $20 an hour for anyone that will come and work. You know how many he got? None. Why would they want to work? Why? But see, this is the attitude in the company that they keep. So it's that kind of spirit that gets on you. So you have to be careful of who you hang with, because it can corrupt you. So anyway, I'm not real big on the homeless. I love them. I wish I could help them, but they won't let you talk to them about Jesus. For the most part, they'll walk away. Want to give them some food? You talk about Jesus? No, I don't. Keep your food. They'll leave. They're not all like that, but most are. But you know, when the Lord comes back and the rapture happens, we don't know when it's going to be. You know, it could happen tonight. Could happen before this message is over. We just don't know. Matthew, let's see. Did I read all of that? No, Matthew 24 again, verses 37 through 39 says this. It says, but the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. See, it's like now. We have church, we have the preaching, and yet there's going to be people who don't hear, who don't obey, and they do their own thing, and they can be left behind. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 6, it said, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness. Praise the Lord that we're not in the darkness, but of the light, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. We should be looking for it, and it shouldn't surprise us when it comes, right? We know about all of this. It says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. So there's warnings that go out about the rapture and the things that are coming about. See, the Lord wants everybody to know. It's not a big secret, is it? It's not a big secret. But Jesus gives us some warnings. He warned that right before the rapture, a coldness would enter the world, a darkness that would try to suffocate love. Remember, we read a scripture on that our love becomes cold? It'll try to suffocate our love, weaken faith, and drain hope from its people. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever been in a hopeless situation before. But I want to tell you, it doesn't bring great thoughts, does it? And so that's what the worldly people are like. There's really no hope. They're seeing all that's going on, even though they're a part of a lot of it, and they don't know how to get away from it for the most part. They're pretty well drained of hopelessness or of any hope, and so they walk in hopelessness. So this attack doesn't, now listen, this is the attack, and sometimes we don't realize this, but the attack doesn't come, doesn't shout it, but rather it whispers. It doesn't strike violently. What it does is it slowly erodes. It slowly robs us of our love, of our faith, of our hope, just slowly, just a little at a time. And a lot of times when it's happening to us, we don't even realize it. But it's happening. So it doesn't destroy us through fear, but it destroys us through numbness. Folks, there's a lot of Christians, good people in church today that are just kind of numb. I've heard that a lot. Yeah, I know. But. And then we downplay a lot of that. Well, that's probably not really what that scripture means or what it's really saying. You know, after all, God is love. Even now, who's the one that's saying, well, I don't believe that heaven or that hell is an eternity of pain? That God is so much in love that it would just be a for a short time. Charlie Kirk? And it's like, where are you getting your information? See, what we tend to do is go to our feelings and then to our thinking. And then it all changes. But see, go to Scripture. What does the Scripture, you know, the Scripture doesn't change. The Scripture's never said what Charlie's trying to portray there. And I know he's mixed up. He's a good man. But he's mixed up. He's getting caught up in this worldly thing. He's being attacked by what we just talked about. And he doesn't think that hell is forever. And Scripture's never said that it wasn't forever. Because after all, I think that's what eternity means, right? Is that what eternity means? Doesn't it kind of mean forever? Or is it eternity of a few weeks or months or years maybe? We downplay. See, everything slowly erodes. We hear what other people are saying, and then it kind of catches on us. And we start to believe that. And when you read Scripture, just like I told you earlier when I read that Scripture about the Lord's Supper, about being ready. And this individual, I mean, this person knows the Bible. Now, what I failed to do was to ask him what it meant. If it didn't mean what it said, then what does it mean? So when I see him again, I am going to ask him, what does it mean then? So all these things kind of erode and it takes away. So Jesus warns them that a coldness would enter the world, a darkness that would try to suffocate love. weaken faith, drain our hope. And Matthew 24:12 says this. It says, and because lawlessness will abound, in fact, we've read a little while ago, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, Jesus even talked about the lukewarm church, the church of Laodicea. You know, they thought they had it all. They thought they had it made. And Jesus said, no, you got problems. He said, because of all of this and you letting stuff in and how it erodes and the things that it does to you, he says, you've become now lukewarm. He says, you're neither cold nor hot. You're right in the middle. And see, that's where I see a lot of our churches today and the people in it is just kind of lukewarm. We're not bad. We're not on fire, but we're in the middle. Do you know being good doesn't get you anywhere? I like when the rich young ruler went to Jesus and said, good teacher. Jesus said, hey, there's only one good and that's God. In other words, you being good is nothing. My being good is nothing. I think that's everything. No, that's nothing. The Lord wants me to be on fire. And even if you're cold, at least you're not bringing attention to yourself that God isn't worthy or isn't working in anybody's lives. And even as cold, do you know that you can still be refreshing? You know, my wife can reach people that I can't. See, a lot of times she reaches in a cold way. I'm not meaning that mean or bad. I'm just saying that's just how she does. And I kind of get hot. I get kind of excited, you know, and I'm wanting to share. But then people won't listen to me. It's like, come on, let's come down to earth now. You know, let's kind of, you know, bring it down a level. And I'm like, wow, let's go. Somebody's listening. See, you don't want to be lukewarm. That's a dangerous place to be. We kind of half-heartedly love, kind of half-heartedly care, but not really. But it sounds good to talk and to care, but we're just lukewarm. Well, I hate lukewarm coffee. You know, I don't particularly like cold coffee either, but I would rather drink that than warm. Right? Of course, I don't want it real hot either. But but anyway. Let's see. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. It says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed. That is the son of perdition. And 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4 says this. Says, but know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Do you ever notice how people today are not very appreciative? Even the illegals that come in get mad because they're not getting enough money that they shouldn't be getting anyway. And so they riot. You're from another country. You're illegal. And yet you're not happy. You know, there's a lot of people wouldn't be happy if they were hung with a new rope, right? But that's where we are. unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And so these are the problems that we're facing today and where a lot of people are at. You know, it talked about the son of perdition. Let me read this. Hebrews 10:36 through 39, as far as it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry." And it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, I have no pleasure in him." Now it's talking to us Christians. It says, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." I kind of looked at drawing back and the people that turn to their perditious ways. So perdition is a state of final spiritual ruin, loss of the soul, and damnation. Kind of like Judas when he decided he's betraying Jesus. You know, he couldn't even find repentance. And he'd been warned. See, folks, all of this, a lot of preaching that we get, sometimes we get some warning in it. It's like, hey, maybe we ought to look at this a little differently and a little more. But see, a lot of times people have been so lulled that, hey, I know God loved me. And he does. But yet he holds us accountable for a lot of things. Folks, if I want to be a good husband, I have to work at it. Maybe more than a lot of people. But if you want to do something, you got to work at it. But see, we're under the concept anymore, for the most part, is that all you have to do is believe in Jesus. And it's all done. And you talk about working. Man, now you're going to works. You're trying to say we've got to earn it. And it's like, no. You know, what if one of the disciples are trying to get Jesus to take him to a strip bar? What do you think Jesus would say? Do you think he would go? Folks, I don't know if you're really understanding, but it's like, you see, we want to live our lives, but we want to live it in peace, in love, in understanding, and we want to be blessed. So whatever we want to do because we're after our pleasure. But then when the Lord asks us to do something or requires something of us, we're kind of reluctant. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. And then we try to find an excuse. Do you ever know most of the scriptures that we read today, you can always change the meaning if you try hard enough? And that's what a lot of us do. It's what a lot of people do. And I've been talking about how important it is to know the word and realize that it means exactly what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, let me give you just a few keys for the rapture. It's a lot in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord." I like that. You know, really, the church is indeed the bride of Christ, and he's coming back for his bride. And he's going to meet us in the clouds. He's not coming to earth for the rapture. See, a lot of people don't understand the rapture. They put them together as a second coming, and they're totally different. The Lord's coming, and we're going to meet him in the air. We're not meeting him here on this earth. We're meeting him in the air. So he's coming to get his bride. We're going to heaven because we're not going to go through the seven-year tribulation. And that's important. Nobody wants to go through the seven-year tribulation. But I want to tell you, I believe that there are Christians who will miss the rapture. And I've got scripture that I can show you. And it says basically that. I don't think how you can take it any other way. But he instructs us and he says, "Be aware, be watchful for your master, for when he comes, for Jesus." We know he's coming back soon. What do? Just live life haphazardly? I mean, though we're not really sinning, it's just kind of carefree, and we just go about our way. And the Lord says, no. In fact, there's a scripture that says that we need to make ourselves pure. He says, "Purify yourselves for the coming of the Lord, for he is pure." He tells us things that we need to look for, what we need to do. It's kind of like when we did the Lord's Supper. Man, there's people that get offended by that. Looking at things and making sure your heart is right. Because their theory is, well, I've accepted Jesus, so therefore I'm saved. I'm righteous. Well, yes, we are. Sins are forgiven. But yet he says right there, we need to kind of look at our heart and see where we're at and deal with it. And when we sin, we need to really realize that this is not a good thing. And we need to turn and give it to the Lord. I'm not saying we have to repent all the time, but folks, repenting is good. But we're thinking on the way that, hey, I've got Jesus, so there's no worry, there's no care. Man, don't heap these works on me. What are you talking about? I believe in salvation by grace. Not salvation by works. And that's true. I don't believe in works saving you anyway. It's just simply doing works because you're obeying God. And see, there's folks that won't get into that at all. It's just I'm by grace, faith and grace, and that's all it is. It's just me and Jesus. And you can't tell me any different. Well, let me tell you that from what I'm reading, they're going to go through the rapture. Or, I'm sorry, they're going to go through the seven-year tribulation. Do you know the Bible? Well, let's see if there's any scriptures I can find on here. First Corinthians 15:51 and 52, it says, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised, and we shall be changed. We're going to have new bodies, and we're going to be totally changed like him. But in Matthew 24 again, in 40 through 42, it says, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill. One be taken and the other left. And it says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now, let me ask you this. There's two people. Do you think it could be two Christians? Or does the other one that's left have to be lost? Doesn't say, does it? Usually Christians hang more with other Christians. So there's a thing there.
Earlier you read verses 36 through 39.
Uh-huh.
Took a long break and then came back and read 40 and 41 just now. But those are together. And you change the meaning between the two. So to read 38 through 41 together again, so we can see what this is talking about, all the characters involved. He says, for in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. He's talking about the world and Noah.
Yep.
The one that got saved. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, meaning the world. And so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. These verses all go together.
Yeah.
And he says, as it was with Noah, the flood came and took all the evil people away, took the world away, the unbelievers away. Immediately from there, he says, one will be taken and another left. One will be taken and another left. To keep the verses together where they belong, he's saying the world, the evil will be taken away, and the believers will be kept safe. So we can't split those two and say this is about two believers, because then we're changing characters and Jesus didn't do that. We're being dishonest with the word then.
Okay. But then with Lot, if you look about Lot, because see, Jesus, or God didn't just take Noah and his family, but he also took Lot and his family. In fact, the angel said, God's going to destroy this city. And he says, do you have any other relation around here? Any sons, daughters, anyone around there? And he had son-in-laws, it says. And he went to them and said, God is going to destroy this city. We got to go now. We've got to get out. And it said that they laughed at him because they thought he was joking. Anyway, he left them behind. And the angels grabbed him by the hand and had to pretty well drag him out of the town, out of the city. But you see, Noah or Abraham had to beg for him. But see, it goes to show the same thing about God in judgment. He's not going to put the righteous through the judgment like he will those that are evil, that are non-believing. So yeah, he did do that, and he will remove the church as well from the tribulation time when it starts. The pre-tribulation rapture occurs before the 7 years of tribulation, sparing believers from this period of suffering. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So because of the rapture, and the teaching on the rapture, it gives us hope and comfort. The promise of the rapture offers hope and encouragement to believers, reminding them of God's faithfulness and ultimate union with God. Now, let me ask you this, because there's people that don't believe in the rapture, or they believe that it's mid, or else it's post, it's at the end. Does anyone know who the Antichrist is going to be? No, you guys don't know? Yeah, he does. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8 says this, and this is in the Amplified. It says, "For the mystery of lawlessness, rebellion against divine authority, and the coming reign of lawlessness," says it's already at work. He's already at work. "But it is restrained only until he who now restrains it is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed." See, until the church is raptured, that's why I believe in pre-trib rapture, it says that the lawlessness after we're taken out will be then revealed. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that has to be removed. And the Holy Spirit is the one that works through his church, right? So the lawlessness one, the Antichrist, is not revealed because he's kind of underground. You see, he can't function as much as he wants. See, there's a lot more they want to do. I think that's why the Lord put Trump in office, to stop them from going ahead of what he had planned. And now you can see how we're using the laws and different things, kind of slow things down. But what do you think if Trump didn't find out? If he didn't make and become our president and learn all of these things that they're learning now? How about the billions of dollars that the Somalians have taken and sent back to terrorist nations? And other blue states doing the same thing. They're finding all kinds of fraud. See, it's underground yet. There's things that are happening, and there's some things that the devil can do, but he's not loosed yet. He doesn't have the freedom to do all that he wants to do right now. But God says a time is coming when the Holy Spirit, and of course the church, will be taken out of the way, the rapture, like Noah, like Lot, removed from the end times, from the judgment that was coming. And then the Antichrist will be loosed. There's one verse out of Revelations. I got too many pages, that's my problem. Revelations 3:10. I don't know if I'm sure you've read that. It says, Revelations 3:10 and 11, it says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere." The Lord says to persevere, to watch, to do. And he says here, "Because you've kept my command to persevere," he says, "I will also keep you from the hour of trial." That's the tribulation, "which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one will take your crown." And that's your crown of life. Otherwise, you can lose it through deception. So, folks, things are really serious on the rapture. I believe that there's going to be Christians that will be left behind. There's going to be also those who've been on the fence. Maybe they go to church, they've heard the word, they believe a lot of, but they've not made that choice to receive Jesus and to be saved. And they'll be left behind. Well, then I believe they're going to realize what they lost, what they missed. And I believe then the group of them will get together and say, guys, we got to get it together. We didn't believe, or we really need to understand the scriptures now. And they would band together, receive the Lord. But see, the thing is, that age of grace is gone. Now they'll have to die for their salvation. Or if they could hide out enough after all the things that's going to take place, like not taking the mark and being able to find food, and they won't have their relatives turn them in, saying, hey, they didn't take the mark, and they would be arrested. Because during the millennium, it talks about them being part of it. Of course, we'll be with the Lord too, but we'll have our terrestrial bodies being changed as the Lord. But folks, there's a lot to that. I do not believe, and I hope I'm wrong, that everybody that has been saved is going to automatically go to the rapture. And I really hope I'm wrong, because I don't want anybody to miss the rapture and to go through the 7 years of tribulation. But I'm saying maybe we better look at the word instead of just thinking, hey, it's okay, there's no problem. We're all going to go. You see, if I'm right, then it's okay. Nothing's going to happen. And then if you're believing the other way and are wrong, there may be some regrets. I don't want to be on the regret side. But anyway, you guys pray about it, you study it, and you can only do what you decide and believe what you decide. And all I can do is share it. So I'm going to share it, and I share it because I love you. And I don't think you would want me to stand up here and try to lie to you and honeycoat it, because then that doesn't help you at all. Makes you feel good. But if it's a lie, you won't feel good in the end. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I know there's a lot going on with the rapture and things that we really probably need to look at and get a handle on. But Father, none of us want to be left behind for the 7 years of judgment that's coming on this world. Nor do you want us, Lord. Help us to prepare and to be watchful and to know that, Lord, this is serious and we can miss it. And if we do, it won't be the end yet, but it will be very hard. And we don't have to go through that. So, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your deliverance and the deliverance to come through the rapture. And we give you praise in it in Jesus' name. Amen.